Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us at I-80 Sports. Today, we're talking news and notes of the week, previewing the conference championship games, and giving our locks of the week. What's up, guys? How are we doing tonight?
Very good.
Doing good.
All snowed in here in New Jersey.
Yeah, snowed. Nice snow today. It was a good storm. I like a good storm.
Yeah, it was a good one. First one.
Especially when you have nowhere to go. It's good.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, here for I-80 Sports, I'm Rich. We got here Ed and Dave here. We're going to talk a little conference championship week. I'm excited about it. I love this week in college football. A couple of the conferences, we'll take a look at the SEC, the Big 12, Big 10, the ACC, and the MAC championship we'll preview. Some news and notes of the week, though. Again, we always like to go over some of the COVID canceled games. But before we get into that, we have some news in the coaching carousel. We have two notable coaches fired in Lovie Smith at Illinois and Gus Malzahn at Auburn.
Yeah, I think Gus Malzahn, that was just a long time coming. And I think they just decided, you know what, let's just pay him out, give him what we owe him, and just get him out of here to change it up. I mean, they expect championships at Auburn, and he's done a good job. I mean, he did really good there, but they've been talking about him leaving for years. So I was not surprised when I saw that. Not at all.
The one thing I will say, though, is it's amazing how with COVID and everything, these schools are saying they're going to have to cut other programs, but they could pay money to buy out coaches.
Yeah.
If you feel like a women's soccer team or a lacrosse team that got cut, you got to be like, you know, what are we doing here? But
I think it was time money, for though. You think Auburn University, you got to think the only team that's bringing in money to that university is the football team. Maybe men's
basketball team. They were top. Yeah. They went to Final Four a couple of years ago, too. Yeah, but I agree.
That's
big time schools, unless you're Duke, you're bringing in teams for football pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
How about Lovie Smith? We think it was deserved of him to be out of there, or think he'll return to the NFL? What do we think about Lovie?
Yeah, if he goes to the NFL, I think it's only as a coordinator, obviously. I think he kind of got – I would have liked them to keep him a little bit longer. You know, he did some good things there. It wasn't all bad. And it's – I don't really see the reasoning behind it, I guess. They wanted him to win more, but I like Lovie Smith. He'll end up somewhere, and he'll end up being a good coordinator.
It's tough to win
NFL in the NFL or college.
It's tough to win in the Big Ten when, like, schools like Illinois, you know, Purdue, you know, I mean, when you got Michigan, Ohio State, well, Michigan usually, you know, I mean, Wisconsin, it's hard to break those top three. But I will miss his beard. That was a classic beard.
Gray beard. Yeah. Yeah. A couple of notable transfers. I think we mentioned this one a couple of weeks ago. Mackenzie Milton, he decided to transfer to Florida State. And then Baylor's quarterback, Charlie Brewer, he's going to pursue something as a graduate transfer this year. There's no notable landing for Charlie Brewer yet, but those were two notable transfers for the quarterbacks for next season.
Yeah, Milton, I don't know why. Well, we'll see what he does in Florida State with the injury that he had and that offensive line. I wouldn't be too comfortable transferring to Florida State. I think there might have been some better options out there for him, but obviously he wants to stay in the state of Florida, I'm assuming, so he stayed down there. Brewer, I'm not sure. The schools that usually bring in those guys, Oklahoma has Rattler. They're not going to need anybody. If Fields leaves, sometimes Ohio State rolls the dice on grad transfers. Georgia, but Daniels is playing well, so they don't really need to do it. Georgia usually brings them in too. So I'll be curious to see. You know, if you look in the past, the other school that may do it, and I'm not going to lie, I don't know their quarterback situation, he may end up at the University of Washington. Because they always like to bring in the transfers as well for a quarterback position.
I know Pitt usually brings in some graduate transfers too, but I know that Pickett announced he's going to come back next year. Mm-hmm. But how about the NCAA announcing that all the transfers are approved? You know,
a couple guys for college basketball last night. I was watching a couple of the games. They just said the guys were practicing with the team and they were eligible and they just suited up that day. Yeah. So once the news broke.
Thank you, COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we think? Another related to that, what do we think about extending the year of eligibility? So basically how college football is going to work next year. If the team wants you to come back, they can offer you another scholarship. But again, they're also bringing in new guys. So if you want to play a fifth year, that's now an option this year. So what are our thoughts about that?
Go ahead, Dave. I'll let you do that.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting. Yeah, because it's definitely going to create crowding on the roster. I think, you know, really, if you're a really good player, you're probably going to go to the NFL anyway. So I think this might help a marginal player who maybe may want to try to play another year, you know, to bump up his NFL stock. So it'll be interesting to see actually how many players actually do come back. I don't think it'll be a whole lot personally. Like I said, because I think all the good players will jump to the NFL anyway.
Do you like it? Do you think it's good, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of fair because this I think 2020, anything that, you know, goes to help people, you know, be in a better situation, I think is good because this year has been rough for everybody, not just football in general. So I'm in favor of anything that's, you know, goodwill, you know, trying to help people. I have no problem with it.
Good, good. Ed, let's get your top six here. Moving into the BCS rankings, they've been coming out. What are our top six here? Any changes?
Yeah, I moved Ohio State down again. I think I might add them at five a couple weeks ago, but I'm still leaving them down there. Alabama is one. And I just like I said a couple weeks, they're playing at a whole different level right now. I mean, they're just impressive. And then yesterday was the early signing period for everybody, and they had the top-ranked class again. They had six five-stars yesterday, 14 four-stars, dominated the early recruiting period as number one class. Ohio State was second. Georgia was third. LSU fourth, and Clemson came in fifth with recruiting. But they just continue to do what they do. And Alabama, I think, is a clear-cut number one. I have Notre Dame at two, Clemson at three. That stays the same. Texas A&M moved up to four, Ohio State at five. And, in a wacky year like this, if this was ever a year, this is a year. That's why I have Cincinnati at six. They deserve it, man. They're undefeated. I think I like them better than Coastal Carolina just based off of some of the games that they've played at Cincinnati. So I have them at six. And we'll see how it all plays out. We'll see how it plays out. But I think it's Alabama's to lose, to be honest with you guys. As much as I hate to say that as a Clemson fan, this just looks like it's Alabama's to lose.
Yeah, they're probably pretty much the best team, I think, without a doubt, in college football this year. But the best team doesn't always win, so we'll see.
Yeah, they haven't. I mean,
I just think the thing going against Cincinnati is they haven't played since November 21st. That really hurts them.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what they can do against Tulsa in this American Conference Championship game. So,
yep, we'll see this week if they're legit.
All right, let's talk about some games from last week. Let's talk about we'll each pick a game here. Ed, why don't you get us started with Ohio State?
Well, like I said, Ohio State didn't play last week. Got another week off that gives them the same. You know, you hate thinking conspiracy, whatever, but the Big Ten, you make the college football playoff, your entire conference gets a nice check, a nice sum of money that comes that way. Michigan, Ohio State got canceled. That enabled Ohio State to get an extra week, just like the two ACC teams, just like Iowa State. West Virginia backed out on Oklahoma because of COVID. Now Oklahoma had the extra week as well. Ohio State, in my opinion, was a huge winner last week because a lot of talk with them being 5-0, when they win this week, they'll be 6-0. A lot of talk about, do you let them in over a two-loss Florida team if they play Alabama close? What about a 10-1 Miami of Florida team who just lost to Clemson and, you know, did that? And then what happens? Florida goes out and lays an egg. And LSU knocks them off, knocking them not only out of the playoffs, but I actually think they knocked Kyle Trask out of Heisman consideration with that win last week. And then Miami, I know, Rich, you want to talk about it too, but Miami, oh, man, North Carolina looked incredible. I have no idea how they lost to Florida State and Virginia. They had 554 yards on the ground. They had 778 total yards against Miami and 224 yards in the air. North Carolina just took Miami to the woodshed. But like I said, that those two games just helped Ohio State because it eliminated two people that had legit arguments to get in over an undefeated 6-0 Ohio State team, and they're not there anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of that North Carolina-Miami game, number 17 North Carolina beat number 10 Miami 62-26. It really wasn't a game from the beginning. It was 21-0 before he even blinked.
Yep.
Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, like you said, 544 rushing yards. It's the most by teammates in a game in FBS history. Their receiver, Brown, he had 167 yards receiving here for North Carolina. They had multiple 150-yard rushers and 150-yard receiver. They just dominated that game. They were more physical. Just watching the game, you could tell from the beginning that one team was there to play. The other team just showed up. Yeah. Miami just showed up. I think this game tape for them, they should just shelf it. It's a tough. Yeah. It's tough to end your season on a note like that. They might get a bowl game here, most likely. I don't think they opted out. I believe they're still going to be one of the teams that is eligible for a game.
Yeah.
Their defense really looked helpless out there. They couldn't slow down the run at all. It was a tough game for De'Arik King. He couldn't get anything going for the Miami offense. A little later in the game, they got some things moving. But North Carolina just absolutely destroyed Miami. And it was a game of the week that I really wanted to take a look at. And North Carolina really didn't even make it a contest the whole way through.
Yeah, it was ugly. I mean, the thing that scares me is how good is Notre Dame's defense? Notre Dame's defense held them to 17 points. They only scored 3 points after the first quarter when those two guys played. I mean, North Carolina, I was very impressed with what they did last week. And like I said, as much as I hate it, it helped Ohio State, and I really think that they're getting in. There's going to be a 6-0 Big Ten champion, and they're going to be in the playoffs.
Hopefully Northwestern will win. But the one thing I will say is, I know there were some commentators who were saying, you know, it wasn't fair that Florida should lose a game because the guy threw the shoe. Why not? You don't throw the shoe. I mean, I don't understand why that would be – people would be upset about that. That was the dumbest thing.
Personal foul. They should.
Yeah, it's tough to
overcome 15-yard penalties like that, especially on a third down when you're about to make them punt and get the ball back.
Exactly. Yeah. And if it's not, you know, it's on sport. Like I said, it's on sportsmanlike. You got to have better control on sportsmanlike conduct. What are you doing?
Yep. That's it. I said personal foul.
It's not going to affect the game. They're not running the clock out. What are you doing, dude? Got to have control of yourself. So. Hey, they deserve. It's a big game.
It's an emotion. It's a game filled with emotion. But you got to understand the difference between when you can show that emotion and when you need to control it. So, Anybody who says that, I don't think that's a good take by that person.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
And Florida, just like you said, Rich. Before we move on, I mean, you look at Florida. It's almost like the same situation that you referenced Miami. In my opinion, I watched the game. I mean, there were times that Florida's kind of sparked, but I kind of felt like they weren't there either, that they weren't really coming to play. I don't know if it was looking to head to Alabama or they just looked at LSU as a cakewalk, but they didn't seem to be there for most of the game. And then when they decided to play, it was too late.
Yep. All right, let's get into the next segment here with our locks of the week. So I know this is an interesting new thing we added. Kind of picking our locks of the week. I know we didn't come out with an episode last week, but my lock of the 2 weeks ago was Ball State Moneyline. They won that game easy. Everybody else's, I believe, Dave, you had Alabama. They came through. And Ed, who was your lock of the week from a couple weeks ago?
I have no idea.
Right. I thought I had Florida over Auburn. Was it Auburn? One of them, they had a backdoor cover. Again,
oh yeah, you had Florida, Ed. You had Alabama. You had.
I had Alabama.
Yeah, I lost on like a back to recover.
Yes, that was correct. Yeah. Yep.
Yes, well, I had Alabama.
You know what I'm doing
last
again?
Week? If we had a show, I would have taken North Carolina because they were getting points.
Too.
You guys kind of helped me out with that.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But then our MLS team, our MLS team cost me on a 5-team parlay because the fifth thing I took was the Seattle Sounders winning the championship. and they got crushed. So, Sir Alex and Bob, thanks a lot, pal.
I'm this lock of the week for this week. I'm going to look at our MAC championship game on Friday, tomorrow. The spread for this game, Buffalo, right now as it sits, it's 13.5. If you monitor the market, you might be able to get Ball State at plus 14, which is what I'm going to give out. I did see that on DraftKings a couple days ago. Ball State plus 14 is going to be my lock of the week. Now, my reason for this, Ball State hasn't lost in 5 weeks. They lost their first game to Ohio. They had their off-season program wasn't up to par like it normally would be, so they struggled out of the gate, but they've been rolling ever since. If you saw their game last week, I don't know if you guys saw the Ball State Western Michigan game. Michigan was throwing laterals all over the field, and the play wasn't blown dead. Both sidelines came out. It was like that Stanford game back in the day with the band.
Oh, yeah.
It looked just like that. It was unbelievable. They ended up scoring Western Michigan, but there was an illegal forward pass on the play, so Ball State was able to win the game 30-27.
And that was clearly illegal. I watched it a couple times. I'm like, nah, it wasn't even close. It was clearly
close.
Yeah, it was definitely an illegal one. But yeah, that was quite interesting to see how that game played out.
Looking forward into this game here, though. When Ball State has the ball, their quarterback Drew Plitt, he has 1,674 yards and 13 TDs. He's completing 66% of his passes. They got a couple of good receivers: Justin Hall, Johannes Tyler, and Antoine Davis. And they average 33.7 points a game. It's their most since 2013, besides last year. The only issue with Ball State's offense is their running back, Caleb Huntley. He opted out. He was rehabbing from injury. He opted out. He's going to move on to the NFL draft. But they have two guys, Ty Evans and Will Jones, who are more than capable. Buffalo gives up 160 yards on the ground, so that's another take here. Buffalo is going to be able to score the ball, but I do like what Ball State can do against the rush. They're much more susceptible. Buffalo's just tries to run the ball, and the Ball State's more susceptible to the pass. So we're looking here at Ball State keeping the game close and covering that 14-point spread.
They got to stop their run. They stop their run, they'll be
fine. Jared Patterson's an absolute stud, so it's not going to be easy, but that's going to be my lock of the week. All right, Ed, let's get yours. What's your lock of the week?
Ohio State. I don't even know what the spread is. The spread
21.
It could be 40, I think. Ohio State needs to win, and they need to win big. One of the reasons I think they'll cover is Fitzgerald is a very, very good coach. Excellent coach. But the main reason, too, I think we talked about it, is he a future NFL coach? I don't think so, because for some reason – if you look at his resume, he doesn't win the big game. I don't know if he doesn't get the teams up or what the reason is. And perfect example is this week. Not this week, this year. They knock off Wisconsin, start getting a lot of momentum, a lot of talk, and then they go out and they have an awful game and lose to Michigan State. So I just don't think Northwestern can stay with them. And Ohio State needs to win. They need to win big. They want to show everyone that, yes, we're 6-0, but we are a top four team in the country. We need to get in no matter what. And they don't want to have to sit around later in the day and hope that Notre Dame, you know, knocks off Clemson again. They want to establish it that they just beat Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game. They hung 60 on them and held them to 7. They beat them by 50-some points, and – it doesn't matter what happens, because they don't want to wait around and see what happens. Because I truly believe Alabama's a lock at 1. I might even go out.
Alabama's in already.
Yeah. Even if they lose. I might even say they're the 1 seed, even if they lose to Florida. The only way they're not the 1 seed is if Notre Dame beats Clemson and they lose, then maybe Notre Dame goes up. But Alabama, regardless, is 1 or 2. And honestly, Notre Dame loses to Clemson, even if it isn't close, I think Notre Dame stays in. I think in a perfect world, everybody on the college football playoff committee would love to see Alabama win, go in as the 1. Clemson beat Notre Dame. Clemson moves up to 2. Ohio State, which is my lock, blows out Northwestern. They put him in at 3. Notre Dame drops to 4. Alabama, Notre Dame in a semi, and you get the rematch of Ohio State and Clemson, who do not like each other at all, playing another semifinal. That's the perfect world if you're a college football committee member. But Going back, Ohio State by 80.
Do you think Ohio State gets in with this win? But if they win big, they're in, you're saying?
They have to win. Honestly.
What if they win the game? What if they win the game 35-31?
Nah, and Texas is Texas A&M playing, or are they?
They're playing Tennessee, right?
All right, they're not COVID canceled yet. If Texas A&M wins and wins convincingly, and Ohio State squeaks one by, I think I'm putting Texas A&M in based off of their resume. That would put them at what, 10-1, I think, or 9-1, and.
Yeah, Ohio,
Ohio State with 6 wins. Texas A&M beat Florida. I mean, who?
Everybody Ohio State passes the eye test, but their resume does not stack up at all. Exactly.
They beat Indiana. Yeah, and they barely beat Indiana. They let Indiana hang around and come back on them. They haven't beat anybody, but I think that the Big Ten bended the rules or changed the rules just so they can get in. And I mean, they're pushing for them to be in because it's big money to that conference if they get in the college football playoffs. So as much as I hate to say it, if Clemson beats Notre Dame, I think even if Ohio State wins 35-31, that the committee is going to put them in. And they might even put them in over Notre Dame because they'll say they're undefeated. So they're going to roll. It's going to be an interesting show next week, fellas, when we find out what all happened.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Dave, what's your lock of the week?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to jump on this game, but what is last I saw, wasn't Clemson favored by like 10 over Notre Dame? Is that right?
It's been between 10.5 and 9.5.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I think Clemson wins this game, but no, I think Notre Dame is sick of hearing how they won their game without because Trevor Lawrence wasn't there. And I think they're going to be really riled up to give. And I think there's going to be another classic game that's going to go down to the last possession. And I think Clemson wins, but I really think Notre Dame's going to cover the 10.5. That spread just seems off to me because I know in Vegas quarterbacks usually aren't worth that many points. And plus the quarterback that played for Clemson the first game, he didn't have that bad of a game.
It wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
That was a defense.
So this spread seems too fishy.
Rich and I. Sorry, I have a guest that popped in. He's leaving. You want to say who's going to win? They want to know who's going to win. Come here. Who's going to win? Clemson or Notre Dame? Get on the camera. Who's going to win? Clemson or Notre Dame?
Hey, Chase.
Clemson. He's got Clemson. He says Clemson because Trevor's
guest.
Special guest Chase coming in. All right, I'll see you. honestly. In this game, if Clemson can't run the ball, and trust me, Rich and I know we're Clemson guys. If Clemson can't run the ball, they're in trouble. And they didn't run the ball against Notre Dame the first time. And you look at Clemson's roster. I mean, I was hoping, but I knew it wasn't going to happen, that they were going to clear Justin Ross to play this game, which I knew wasn't going to happen. They just wanted him to be able to have a pro career after he went to the doctors. And there was rumors that he might suit up. He's not suiting up. Clemson doesn't have that receiver that they used to have, T. Higgins, DeAndre Hopkins. They don't have that. Justin Ross. They don't have that deep threat that they have. Rodgers is having a great season, but Clemson's going to have to play a perfect game, and their defense that got banged up 2 weeks ago, all their linebackers got hurt. I don't know how many are going to be playing. They said they're healthy, but I don't want to talk about it. I've already lost sleep over it, but it's going to be a very tough game this Saturday.
Yeah, and like I said, that spread just seems way off.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm.
It's big. It's a big spread. Let's move into some of our game previews for this week. For my game preview, I'm going to take a look at the SEC championship between Alabama and Florida. You just got to talk about it. We talked a little bit about Alabama before. The Florida with the shoe. I don't want to dwell on what this game could have been. It could have been an unbelievable chance for Florida to get into the college football playoff had they not lost to LSU, a mediocre LSU at that, last week, 37-34, and they still, even after the penalty that we discussed, they still had a chance to win the game. Yeah. They went down the field. They got him field goal range. They have a great field goal kicker, and he just couldn't get the job done. It was a 51-yard attempt, I believe. I think it was over 50, but they had a good kicker. just that loss just really, really hurts college football fans everywhere. No, everybody wants to see a play-in game basically.
Right.
But just talking about we talked about it earlier, Alabama, Florida. I just wanted to talk a little bit about just what was coming up in this, the ramifications of this game. I think Alabama is going to win this game handedly. I think they're going to win by 3 scores. I think Florida knows that their chances have sailed. Alabama's not going to lay off. Alabama's going to come in and take it to them here in this game.
Yeah. I think Alabama has a point to prove, and I think that's part of the reason we're seeing the way they're playing, because I myself, when Waddle got hurt, you know, at that point, a top 10 NFL draft pick, yeah, everybody kind of had a little question. What are they going to do? I mean, they still had Devonta Smith, but you know, they had Najee Harris, and Mac Jones is having a great year, but what's going to happen? And what happened? Freshman receiver stepped up. Smith is playing out of his mind. All of a sudden now he's a Heisman possible finalist. Najee Harris, I mean, just like Rich said, I don't see Florida sticking around. I'd love to be able to see him do something. But I just think Alabama's going to get up on them early and just roll.
What if they win?
Florida wins?
Yeah.
They're not in. 2 losses. The only way Florida gets in? No, Florida doesn't get in.
They can't get in.
Clemson loses. But they have 2 losses.
If they win and Ohio State loses, then maybe they could get in.
Still don't think so.
I think they
would need Ohio State to lose and Clemson to lose, and then maybe they would have a shot.
Yeah, they're done.
With 2 losses.
And then, but then if Iowa State beats Oklahoma, they only have 2 losses too. So, I mean.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could get crowded. I guess I root for chaos, so.
Well, that would be chaos, but I think the if you look, even losing to a bad LSU team, the committee only dropped Florida 1 spot, and they're still ahead of Iowa State. I believe, yeah, they're still ahead of Iowa State in the rankings. So it'll be one of those. When was it? I think it was with Baylor and Ohio State, or TCU and Ohio State, and Ohio State was above them, and they had the same record, and the committee said, yeah, well, Ohio State still, you know. Same record Ohio State's in. So,
speaking of Iowa State, Oklahoma, why don't you tell us a little bit about your predictions for that game, Ed?
Yeah, I just Oklahoma's been on fire lately. Been on fire. I've read articles that say this team is playing better than any of the Mayfield, Hurts, or Murray teams. Everybody's in love with them. Rattler's playing good football. Their running game is back. Their defense is doing well. And as much as I hate to say it, I kind of agree. I think Oklahoma's going to win this game. I think it's going to be hard for Iowa State to beat them again, especially on a neutral site. And they're not names. They're not home where they're comfortable at. They're going to be in Arlington, Texas. And I just don't see them. I think Oklahoma has too many weapons. I was on Iowa State in our preview show. I think they're the quarterback, the running back, there was their offense. I think they have a great offense, and they play great defense. And who doesn't like Matt Campbell, the coach? I think he's the next Dabo Sweeney, to be honest with you, just hearing him speak. I think everyone's going to want to play for him, and I'd love to see him win. But if I had to pick it, I think it's going to be Oklahoma. I just think it's Oklahoma. They just own the conference, and it's just going to continue to roll this year.
Yeah, I had said it before. I think, you know, it's a shame with the COVID and the limited practice, Oklahoma with Rattler, they got off to a slow start. If they had like a normal season, you know, I think Oklahoma would be up there in the college playoff picture.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's a shame, but, you know, you can't make excuses because every team has gone through it. So.
Right. And that's another team, Rich. I see you thinking that's another team. Alabama loses. Clemson loses. Yeah, I don't see Oklahoma making up enough ground. Even if they blow out Iowa State to get in there, they don't have the resume. Well, they just can't. Oklahoma's not getting in the playoff. Big 12.
They need too much to happen to get into the playoffs. The winner of this game. I think I'm actually kind of on Iowa State this week. Every time I look at adjusted power rankings, they're very, very closer than the spread indicates. The spread is 5.5 for this game. So I actually kind of like Iowa State getting the points here. Breece Hall is special on the ground, 6'1", 215 pounds. He had 90 yards last two games against Texas and West Virginia. They did a good job against him. But he has 1,357 yards and 17 touchdowns and averages over 6 yards a carry. Yeah. And Brock Purdy, he was struggling earlier in the season, but lately he's playing much better. He struggled against Kansas State, and he had a rocky start to the season. But over the last three games, he's hitting 80% completion. And Iowa State's going to have the confidence. They beat Oklahoma earlier. I know it's on a neutral field this time and not at home for them in Ames. But I kind of like Iowa State here getting the points. It's not going to be my lock of the week, but it's something I'm leaning towards. If you're in a legal sports betting market.
If Brock Purdy plays like the veteran quarterback that he is and stays hot like he has been, he has what it takes to lead him to win. And the question will be what Spencer Rattler shows up. The one earlier in the season that was making first-year quarterback's mistakes, or the ones that have been playing, you know, the way he's been playing lately, and he's been smart with the ball and doing what he's supposed to do. Does the pressure of the Big 12 championship and all the expectations get to him? If that happens, then, yeah, I can see Purdy leading Iowa State. But I think Oklahoma's just got too many weapons.
It's going to come down to the offensive line play. Oklahoma leads the Big 12 in sacks and has one of the best defenses with tackles for loss in the country. But Iowa State's offensive line has been doing a great job against the protecting Purdy. Oklahoma had one sack and four tackles for loss in their first meeting. So if that offensive line can keep going, I'm a line guy. I'm going to lean towards a good offensive line here in Iowa State. Dave, what game here is on your schedule here, Dave? What game you want to talk about?
Well, I'll talk about the Coastal Carolina. I've been on their bandwagon the last few weeks. They got a rematch against Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. And they beat them earlier in the year, so it should be interesting to see what happens. It's tough to beat a team twice, and we'll see. But I think I'm hoping that Coastal Carolina wins this game. And this way, and like I said, then a couple teams lose, and we can have chaos, and maybe Coastal Carolina could sneak in.
There's not enough chaos for that to happen.
And one other game I want to talk about real quick, where the spread just seems off, is Army is playing Air Force, and Air Force is favorite in this game. I can't see how Army just totally stopped Navy last week, and it's on the campus again of Army, and I just think Army. I believe Air Force favored by two. And I'd say Army wins this game outright, I think.
I think Coastal, just moving back to Coastal, Louisiana Lafayette, that's the Sun Belt Championship. I'm going to try to tune into that one. I think Coastal, with a win, can get into a New Year's Six Bowl. I think that's their ceiling. That's kind of their ceiling here for Coastal. They had an unbelievable season. Kind of had a letdown last week against Troy. I think they only won that game. I think it was 41 I think it was 41-36. They had to win. They had to come from behind and get that win.
That was
a sneaky good game.
That was a look ahead game. They had just beaten BYU, and they knew they were having a rematch with Louisiana. Actually, if we had the show, I would have took Troy last week. I think they were getting like 13, and I like that because that was definitely a look ahead game for Coastal Carolina. Yeah.
And they were.
That's a good angle. All right, before we end here, any final thoughts?
It's a conference championship week. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we get some good games. I hope Clemson makes my Saturday a happy afternoon. I don't want to see them lose. It's going to be tough to do that. And then just going to be interesting. It all starts tomorrow night. Got some games tomorrow night, so that'll be good to watch for sure. And Heisman, I think if Trevor can beat Notre Dame, it's his trophy, or they'll steal it from him. If he wins, if he beats Notre Dame and he'll get it, it's just going to be a shame if he doesn't get it. But there's a lot of push lately for the Heisman with the Alabama guys. So it's going to be tough. But let's have a good week of college football, man. It's wrapping up too soon.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick, I think during this football season, more money's been bet in New Jersey on football than in Vegas. And I think New York, I don't know what Governor Cuomo, what they're thinking, because they still haven't really legalized sports betting. I know you could bet like up, I think, in the Catskills and at casinos, But how do they not have legalized betting with the app? It's just New York is just losing out on so much money. They're going to talk about raising taxes with the COVID and everything. I don't understand what they're thinking. But, hey, it benefits New Jersey. So, but I really think New York needs to legalize sports betting soon.
Yeah, I think that's coming. I think that's coming to a lot of states pretty soon. For me, I'm just looking forward to some good conference championship games, just some good competition, and good college football Saturday. For Rich, I'm here with Ed and Dave. We'll see you guys next week.
Take care.